knows an ant can over up a tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got
Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, a real Italian-American podcast, and I am your host, Frankie D, a real Italian-American. And my guest today is Maria Spilotro, and our topic is jarring tomatoes. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited. It's something that is dear to me, and
well, that's what I want to say.
I get to talk about it.
I chose you because you've been doing this your entire life, correct?
Exactly.
All right, tell me where you're from.
So I'm from a small town in Calabria, Giovella, Giunvano, town of Cosenza. And
in Calabria.
In Calabria.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I came here when I was 13 years old.
Okay. So did you jar tomatoes prior to coming here?
Oh, yes. So it was.
Tell me about that.
My parents grew their own tomatoes. It wasn't like here, you know, going to the store to buy it. But so when the tomatoes were ripened and ready to, you know, to go with the, to make the sauce, it would be. Get everybody in the family. My aunt would come, my cousin, my neighbors, and everybody kind of, you know, helped out. My mom and my dad, they would, you know, get the tomatoes washed, and we, little kids, we had to help. And there was not getting out of working.
You know? Now, was this like something that was like a chore? Oh my God, we have to do this? Or it was like just a fun thing that you was just normal because that's what you did.
It was just normal because it was our way of life. We knew that every year comes around July.
Around July. Okay.
Beginning of August when the tomatoes, like I said, they were ripened. It was something we did. We never bought tomato sauce. We always made our own. So it
and you never bought tomatoes, right? You grew
we never
all
bought tomatoes because my father and my mom, they had it all in their, you know, the land. They grew all their crops. They would sell their crops.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, so we didn't have to buy them.
Did most of your town, you said it's a small town, did most of the town jar tomatoes?
I would say 99.9.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was something that happened that was a part of everyone's life there.
It was just our culture. It was just the way we lived, the way, what we did, and how we did things. And it was, for me as a kid, it wasn't a big chore. Maybe it was more of a chore for my parents because they did it year after year. So after a while, it becomes work. But as a child, I remember having a good time and looking forward to doing it because everybody will be over and then you're laughing and you're talking and you're doing what you're doing. But at the same time, where you're having a good time, a good family time, and even the neighbors will come help. Kids, the older women would sit because they didn't have to do a lot of bending over and, you know, washing the tomatoes. So they would sit and cut the tomatoes.
Okay.
And then somebody else would, you know, like puree it on the, we never have, here we have the electric. Food mill. But
okay.
It was all like by hand.
Oh, it was by hand. Nothing
back
was
in the
not
day,
electric.
It was
okay.
By, yeah.
Okay.
So my father would be in charge of cooking up everything up and then, you know, everybody helped. Everybody had their little
okay. And then what did you put them in like mason jars? Those type of things that we use now?
Mason jars. We came to know mason jars in Chicago. In Italy, there were no mason
jars. There were no mason jars. So what did you put them in?
So my parents would use empty bottles, mostly beer bottles.
Beer bottles, really? Actual beer bottles?
Actual beer bottles or wine bottles. My father would just like, if you whatever you use, if you use the beer, you would save the bottles. Or if you didn't, if you find them at a restaurant or somebody had extra, my father would just bring them home and we knew.
Really?
At the end, when it was time to make the tomato sauce, we would use it.
So like all year long,
all year
he's
long.
Always got his eye on empty bottles.
Right. And then
and he would
you know,
save
he
them.
He would wash them the day before. So it was
wow.
a big to do.
Okay. Okay.
It's a lot of fun, actually.
Okay. And then how, just thinking about it, today, 2016, when they jar tomatoes in your town, what do they put them in? Because I'm sure they're not using mason jars either.
They're not using mason jars, but from what I see, because I haven't been there to make them, actually, they use like the juice bottles.
Okay, so still they're using...
Still they're using something.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like a recycling, you know.
It absolutely is, sure.
You know,
okay.
They're using the resourceful...
Okay, no, that's great. Have, that's great.
Instead of, like, here, we buy them, then we buy the, you know...
We're so fancy.
Yeah.
Here. Okay. Okay, now I'm also curious. Beer bottles, wine bottles, how are you closing them properly? What was the process for that?
So, in the beginning, it was a cork, you know, the... Just
a cork?
Like a wine bottle.
Okay, wine cork. Okay.
So we had this wooden gadget that you would put the cork on top, put it on the neck of the bottle, and then with the hammer, you would hammer it down into the neck of the bottle.
Okay.
Then the next person with the string
okay.
would tie it almost like a champagne bottle.
Okay.
Just so that when you boil the bottles, the cork wouldn't come out with the, you know, with the...
Would explode, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then the bottle would, you know, would break. So they did that. Then later on, they came out with the actual caps, like the beer bottles.
Oh, okay.
And then we would buy those, and then there was another gadget that you could just, you know, you would put inside the middle of it, and with two handles, almost like when you open up a wine bottle.
Right.
Then you push down.
And that would close it with the...
You push down on two sides, and that would seal it.
Okay. So when you use the cork, though, you would open it like a wine bottle, correct?
Exactly.
With that type of equipment
yeah.
and okay.
Right.
So I'm assuming you had a type of room to keep these in that was somewhat cool, and you probably just had shelves filled with beer bottles of tomatoes, right?
I remember in our house, because we had a newer house, my father built a new house right before we came to America. We had a very old armoire that belonged to my great grandmother,
oh,
and it
wow.
was huge.
Okay,
it was all wood, and my mom would keep it in there into a smaller room next to our kitchen.
Okay,
but some people would have like a cantina,
cantina.
Where it was
okay.
cold, or
maybe farther down, like
farther down, like
yeah.
in a sub basement. Like
sure,
my uncle, Dio Cecchino, that's where he keeps it.
Okay,
you know, like, or he used to.
Right.
So. There's always a place where it's a little bit cooler and, you know, it would keep better over
okay.
time.
Okay. So this
was
great better. Experiences and great memories.
It was great memories. And it was, like I said, I remember we used to stop for lunch. And
yeah. Well, tell me about that now. So the day you're doing it. So it's a one day process as far as the jarring, the canning, jarring.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the.
What was the reward for that day? What did you get to eat?
We would cut up all the really ripened tomatoes, and there was so much juice out of them because they were so ripened.
Okay.
And we would make like the tomato with the onion, the red onion, and then olive oil, salt, pepper, basil. Lots of basil.
Okay.
For the, you know, the garden. And then the big thing was we would put in pieces of hard bread, and everybody would just dip in the bread
because oh, wow.
the juice was so much.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
what I really remember, like, we loved it. I mean, there was,
it was that was like a big
treat. Nothing left in that plate because
yeah.
everybody loved it. And on that day, it just tasted special.
Okay.
You know, we made it all the other days, but that day, it, you know, the salad was just special.
Okay.
Then we would end the day with a big spaghetti because now we have the tomato sauce, we have all our friends, our family over.
A big spaghetti.
We have dinner, so we make a big spaghetti and then everybody.
That's
while
cool.
the tomatoes were, the bottles were boiling.
While they were boiling, so you finally got
yeah.
to stop working and you
yeah.
celebrate. Okay, and did you just jar like sauce from the tomatoes, or did you jar like pieces?
We also
or?
Made pizzetti.
Pizzetti. And what would that pizzetti.
Be? Well, the pizzetti, you cut them up.
Okay.
Keep the seed and the skin, everything. You would just cut them up in strips. And because, like I said, we were using the bottles, we would. They would use the little kids, you know, to fill in because their little hands could put in the.
Wow, no child labor laws in Italy back in the 60s, huh?
yeah, no. It was,
so the little kids were putting them
yeah.
in. So now you have pizzetti,
yeah,
which would be used.
Sauce,
what would you use the pizzetti for?
Pizzetti you would use when you make like a meat dish in the oven, or my mom sometimes they would go put it and make it in the forno, or like in the brick oven.
Okay.
People would have that, and then you could make like l'agnello, which is lamb with potatoes and pizzetti.
Oh,
tomatoes.
That's great. Okay.
So you don't use sauce for that. You always use the fresh.
So you had like fresh tomatoes.
It was kind of like keeping the tomatoes fresh in a bottle
all year long.
All year long.
Wow,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you left this beautiful thing. No, so you moved here. You're 13 years old. Did you guys keep this tradition from the get-go of moving here?
We did. We did it from the first year because, like I said before, we didn't have a different way of. That's
right.
What we ate, and that's what we were used to. My mom never bought canned tomatoes.
Okay.
So we carried on the tradition here.
But
along with,
you didn't have the land here.
We didn't have
so
land
you
to
couldn't grow. So now how did you acquire the tomatoes?
So my parents found out, you know, farms of tomatoes here where to go and pick their own tomatoes. They wouldn't go to a fresh
they wouldn't go to a produce store.
Produce store to buy.
So they would go to a farm.
Because they wanted to pick their
they
own
wanted,
tomatoes.
Wow.
They didn't just want to, you know, a tomato that was picked from someone else. They would
they're very particular people, huh?
Tomatoes because, of course, you wanted them to be all the same.
So what was that like? So you would, like, I'm just assuming, like, pay a price for, say, a bushel.
Right.
And then you would go and physically pick the tomatoes you wanted, and then you paid
so
for one bushel,
go,
you showed a bushel.
We would go early in the morning, you know,
wow.
be on the farm. Sometimes the farm was an hour away, sometimes an hour and a half away. We would be on the farm early in the morning because we wanted to be done by 10 o'clock.
Okay.
No,
now that day,
high and
right. So that day you picked all these tomatoes.
The
you come back. Did you start making them that day
so
or the next day?
We bought them in bushels. We paid by the bushel and the weight.
Okay.
My father always put extra ones, you know, on top, so like the bushel would be really full to the top. So you know always get the extra tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You bring home more.
Sure.
And then we went home and laid them out on blankets in the garage to make sure that, you know, like I said before, they all need to be
a certain quality or a certain
and ripen all at the same
okay.
kind of the same. Because if you have something that are not so ripened, then the sauce is not going to be as sweet.
Okay. Is there any part of like them drying out anymore that they're laid on the floor?
No,
or
they don't need to
so
be
just you want to. Pick.
They just want to be, have to be, you know, ripened.
Okay.
You know, some are, you know, a little bit of green at the top, so you don't want any green.
Okay.
You want them all red.
Okay. But when you were at the farms, now, like, I know in these more recent years, we just would buy a bushel from a produce store,
right.
and you don't know what you're getting in the bushel.
Right.
But when you guys, you pretty much knew every tomato was grade A quality.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why you went to pick them.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
As time went on, nobody went to the farm.
Because that just was a lot of work. So now, I'm sorry. So you picked them, you came back, you spread them out. Did you start making them that day?
No.
Okay, the next day.
Yeah, the next day you were dead tired because your back hurt.
Sure.
Just
you're working in the fields,
yeah,
for heaven's sakes.
We were picking 10 bushels, 15
oh my
bushels,
God.
Sometimes 20 bushels.
That's a lot of work.
We used to do
These were plum tomatoes?
Plum tomatoes.
Okay, that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of plum tomatoes to make a bushel.
Yes.
15 bushels later,
yeah.
Your back's broken.
And sometimes 20.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we would go help and, you know, so then we would do them like the following day or 2 days later, whenever, you know.
Okay.
It was.
Okay. So then more recent years, you go to the produce guy, you buy them the bushels, you go to Caputo's, you buy the bushels, you bring them back to the house. You still lay them on the floor,
on
the blankets.
Now
you're picking out some.
Sure,
there might be, no offense to Caputo's, there could be one or two that are bad.
Right.
Caputo didn't make the tomato.
Right.
God made the tomato.
Right.
Okay. So there could be a bad one. God screws up once in a while. Not often, but once in a while. Okay. So you lay them out. You go through the good and the bad.
And the day that you're going to make them, you're picking them, and you make sure you separate them according to, you know, the bad ones, you put them on the side and maybe you'll cook them for sauce for that day.
Okay.
And the good ones, you want to make sure that they're all really good ones and you wash them and then you boil them.
Okay. So you wash them all.
You wash them. You put them in a big pot with a little bit of water. So you want to almost steam. You want
okay.
to get them soft so that you can put them through the food mill. Now we have the electric one.
Okay. So it's like a press.
Right. Like a food press. Or
something. Okay. So you boil them in a big pot with like
a little bit of water in it.
And a little bit of water.
And you cover them and make sure they steam.
Okay.
So you.
Then from there, it goes to the food.
To the food processor.
To the food processor.
And you puree it.
So
now you have your
it's
sauce.
Coming out sauce and the.
And the
peeled and all that other stuff is.
The other one.
Right. Now, do you just do one time that
yeah.
it. You know, the peels come out, or do you try to get every piece of juice you can get, at least twice, if not maybe three times. So you throw it back in. There's still more coming out.
Right. Yeah. And then you make sure that when you fill your bucket with all the sauce, that you mix it well, so the sauce is all the same consistency.
Okay.
And it's mixed really well, so it's not thick or loose, or you know, so it's nice, fluid, and you know, same consistency.
Okay. So now that the peel that you've run through the second time, run through the third time, it's done. There's nothing left in it.
No.
So now you just throw that away. Or maybe
actually,
put it, do you,
it
what does he do with it?
Because
he puts it back in the garden.
It becomes
like
fertilizer.
It becomes
fertilizer for the soil. So the next year when he grows his own tomatoes again, tomatoes are going to be much better.
My God. Nothing.
So everything
has a purpose and serves.
Yeah.
A purpose.
We
wow.
didn't invent green. Green has been invented many years.
That's great. Okay, so now it's all sauce, for lack of a better word. It's okay. It's been through the press. Now it's in these big buckets. Now what do you do with it then?
So now you have your mason jars, which here we now have mason jars.
Mason jars. No more beer bottles,
no
huh?
No beer bottles.
Okay, you couldn't hit up a tavern
actually,
or something.
Sometimes my dad, when he runs out of mason jars, he still uses some bottles.
Well, you could use
a
mayonnaise jar or a jelly jar, provided that the cap is good.
The right cap,
okay.
So that, you know, it seals nice.
It has to be sealed nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you get your mason jars out.
They got to be.
What goes in the mason jar?
In
addition
to
the tomatoes.
First of all, they have to be really, really cleaned and washed.
Sterilized, sanitized. Okay.
Then you put a leaf of basil or two.
Fresh basil.
Fresh basil.
Are we going to the store to buy this basil?
No. We get it from my dad's yard.
Your dad grows all the basil.
We make the tomatoes at his house.
You make the tomatoes at his house.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has all the utensils that we need. He has all the pots and pans and the big whatever, everything we need is there.
And is his food processor press like store bought or is it like homemade?
It's homemade.
It's a homemade machine.
Yes.
So he's got a motor and
everything.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, everything is to my father's liking. He's the perfectionist.
Okay. So do you do the tomatoes with your father and your mother?
Yes, actually, they make their own on their own, which they're still, God bless them, they're still able to do that.
Okay,
but
we're knocking on wood.
We're making them with them after, you know, I've been married 36 years. I know what I'm doing, but my dad and my mom, they still like to direct traffic because nobody makes them like mom and dad.
Right. Now,
which is true.
If they make a little less, do they go buy bushels or do they use, because he still has gardens.
Yeah.
Does he use the tomatoes he grows?
He uses the tomatoes he grows and he makes a little
to this
bit
day.
At a time, yes.
Because obviously it's just the two of them. They wouldn't need as much as a family of five or six.
Right, but he has such a big garden and he grows so much.
So he can make a lot of jars.
Yeah,
wow.
So he doesn't have to
go. Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, so now you put the fresh basil in every jar.
Yes.
And
now
you fill it up.
You fill the jars with the sauce. And you make sure there's
not too little, not too much,
because you need at least 1 inch.
Okay.
So that there's room. So as you're boiling them and the sauce is boiling in the jars, there's enough space so that the jar doesn't explode.
Okay.
And another thing, you have to make sure that the rim is very, very clean and the lids are sanitized in hot water right before you put it on so there's no bacteria growing.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, you want to preserve fresh tomatoes, but you also want to make sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say, like, it's all fun, it's all this, it's all that, but you do have to know what you're doing. Because this could be.
There is science to this, too, because
sure.
This could also be very bad. If the tomatoes are spoiled, you do not want to eat them.
Right. Okay. So now you close them properly. And now what do you do? Is that it, or is there more to the process?
Now you take all the jars and you put them in these big drums. First of all, we put like some towels on the bottom so that when they're boiling, they're not getting, you know.
So like a big, like a 55-gallon steel drum, those type of drums?
Right.
Okay, so you fill all the mason jars. So you're putting in a lot of jars.
You're putting in like 100 jars.
100 jars in this 55-gallon drum.
Right.
And you fill it up with water. And now you boil that again?
Right. You boil the whole
whole drum
yes.
with the jars. So it's almost they've been boiled twice.
The first time it's more like a steam.
Okay, you said that. Yeah, like a steam.
Soften them up so okay. that you could put them through the food processor.
Gotcha.
And they could become pureed.
Okay.
And the second time is so that you are giving it a boil so they don't spoil over time. Because don't forget, sometimes you keep them 2 or 3 years.
Do you keep them that long?
I do. I've had to.
And they're good still.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with them.
Okay.
Because if there's no air going in there and the tops are sealed, you know if they're good if you touch the tops with the pops.
Okay.
There's a little air in there.
Oh, okay. If it does, do you throw it out? Or do you?
If it does, you use it right away and you're good.
Okay.
But if, you know, to keep them 2-3 years, you want to make sure that you did a good job.
Right. Okay. So now, how long, more or less, are they in this steel drum, the actual jars boiling?
Once it comes to a boil, first of all, it has to come to a boil. It takes about at least an hour.
I was going to say, it should take a while. Yeah, that's a big...
Once it comes to a boil, you have to let it boil for at least 4 minutes.
Oh, so this is a long time.
Right. And then you turn, but, you know, it all becomes a lot of fun because now...
So what are you doing while you're waiting? Tell me, Maria, what do you do?
So it... During the whole time, my mom, which, like I said, we make it at the house, she's making focaccia for us, you know, inside. She brings it out. We're making the tomatoes. My brother-in-law, Frank, is always there with the music in the background. So it becomes a lot of fun. Actually, I have to say I really enjoy the day because it's a lot of work, but we make it a lot of fun. And it's about family.
Well, that's what my question is. Okay, it's 2016.
Yeah.
We could go buy anything. We certainly could go buy cans of tomatoes, and packed in Italy, the whole nine yards.
Right.
Why you keep doing it?
It brings us together. It brings the family together. My kids are now, you know, married on their own. And even when they were teenagers, they would say, Mom, when are we making the tomatoes this year? And
so your children have been doing it.
My children have been doing it. If I don't do it, they're questioning me why, because they, just like I, were raised making tomatoes.
Sure.
So to them, it's a way of life.
It's a way of life. Yeah, exactly. That's important.
So come around September. This is when we make them here, usually Labor Day weekend. And my kids are like, when are you making the tomatoes? Are you making the tomatoes by Nona? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? So they're really interested. So
okay.
I know that they, to them, they cherish it too.
Okay.
It's a tradition that I hope it will not die.
That's great. So that day, you have a real nice dinner while you're waiting for the jars to
boil. Yeah, like my mom, she brings in the focaccia, and then we cut up some soppressata. Like I said, with the music in the background, and my husband with the Italian apron on, and Frank and the kids, and Ivan and I, and everybody's doing their part and helping. So the day goes on forever, which is a long process.
It's a long day, correct?
Yeah, we make
it. It sounds like you're talking about the morning.
Yes.
So basically,
till about 8, 9 o'clock.
8, 9 o'clock at night. So maybe 9 to 9.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything is boiled, and then we can go. And then the next day, you have to go and take them out of the drum, make sure they're.
Oh, so you leave them overnight in the drums, and then by the next day, you pull them out. You divvy it up. You wipe them off because they're wet. Do you ever get bad ones in there? Like where there's water gets in the jar.
But that
and if it does, is it no good or do you have to use it kind of quickly?
It's not water in the jar.
It's not.
No. It's separation of the sauce. So when the sauce is a little bit more liquid, when it boils, it tends to draw some of the particles of the tomatoes up higher.
Okay.
And the bottom becomes water, but it's all tomato sauce.
Wow, you sound like a scientist. That's great. That's great. So it's not water getting in
okay.
Because it's closed tightly.
Because if it does, it's bacteria.
Okay. And you have a nice spaghetti even here that day?
We do. So at lunchtime, we do the focaccia and the soppressata. And then at nighttime, we have to have spaghetti with fresh tomatoes.
Wow. And that's great.
So that's how we end our day. Not end the day, but that's how we have their dinner together. And then even some of my kids that don't come and help, or, you know, they'll join us for the spaghetti.
Sure, who wouldn't? Okay. All right, I got a stupid question. So you got these jars, mason jars,
yeah,
of tomato sauce with a leaf of basil or two.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where do you keep it here in America, in their homes? Where do you keep it?
Where we live, we always make sure that we have a shendino.
A shendino.
A shendino.
Which would be a room like a cantina.
American word.
Is it? Or is it a Calabrese thing?
I think somebody made it up here because we acquired it when we came here.
So in your town, they don't say?
We don't say shendino.
You don't say shendino. What do they say? Cantina?
Cantina. We say ripostiglio. We say uvascio. Uvascio. Or... what do we say? I don't even remember.
But not shendino. Okay, so that's a room, cool room in the basement. No heat gets in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you leave it in there. So now, whatever, a month later, a week later, 2 weeks later, you're at home. I'm going to make sauce for the family.
The
you go
feeling.
Downstairs. You get two jars.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do with the jars? Because that's not... The sauce is not made. It's just tomatoes.
Made. There's nothing in there. There's no salt in there. There's
nothing.
No.
Just the basil.
Herbs, not other than the fresh basil.
Okay, so what do you
do?
Not
it's fresh sauce. So it's whatever way you make your sauce. So most of the time you saute with virgin olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, the onions.
Saute
until it's a little soft. And then you throw in your tomato sauce and your basil, your pepper.
You put any garlic or
pepperoncino?
No garlic.
I don't like my sauce with garlic.
Okay.
I usually always make it with garlic.
Okay, so you pour that in the like a frying pan?
No,
in a pot. Okay,
in a pot. Yeah, first you saute the onion.
And how long does it take for it to maybe
20
cook?
Minutes, because the more you cook it.
Oh, that quickly?
Yeah, you want to eat it fresh.
Okay.
You have it preserved.
Okay.
So fresh, so. Cooking it longer is just going to make the tomato dark. So it's not better.
Understood. Good. Okay. Okay. Well, I would say, I mean, this is all great. And me personally, honestly, I've been helping to jar tomatoes, I should say, for easily the last 28 years. It's, you'll have the people, and I'm sure less people do it just because it's easier to go buy it.
Right.
It's a lot of work. I think that beyond, it's tremendous that you're using high quality tomatoes. You know what it is. You did it. You have it basically for the entire year.
Yeah.
You want, someone comes over, boom, you go down to the Shendino.
And you're proud to have.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
And you know how many I give away as gifts?
Do you?
When people come over and, let me give you a jar, or they're like, oh my God, you make tomato sauce? And it's like giving them
like gold, like giving them gold. Well, you're right. But I was going to say is like, it's not the matter of, oh, I could go buy them.
Right.
It's like,
there's a lot of love that goes.
Yeah.
Into,
it's
into
the day itself means something more than the actual tomato. It's not just about the tomato, although it really is a part of our cult, our tradition, our culture. It's about doing something together, the family.
Yeah.
Spending one day that takes a long time, reaping the benefits for the year, but it's like, it's just, if we give that up, it's just one more, it's one less thing that we have. And I really encourage people to keep doing it. Why would we not? Are we that busy that one day we can't? Because what else are we going to do that's just so enjoyable and
people plan
rewarding
for going to a trip or taking a boat ride or. Why not make tomatoes?
I agree.
Everybody get together. It's a fun day. Usually it's beautiful. It's sunny outside, and you just enjoy being outside because that's where you make them outside.
Right.
Inside. So for me,
I find it beautiful. Like I see, and I want to say another thing. I saw because of Facebook. I saw your aunt in Italy, in Rovella, in Calabria, 88 years old.
Yes. Her and her son.
Making her and her son. Making tomatoes. And you were right. The jars looked like they were kind of like juice jars, bottles, I should say. The bottles. Right. That's just wonderful. That's great. So, thank you so much for enlightening us with this information. It is an important part of our, it is a part of our culture, our tradition, our families, our ethnic background.
We should not lose it. We will become. We are in a melting pot of the United States.
We're melting.
But we don't have to melt.
We don't have to be completely gone.
Right.
So that's what we got to keep going. So Maria, thank you so much for doing the show. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And as we always do on the Keeping It Real Frankie D show, our quote of the show, our inspirational words. Today's quote comes from Albert Einstein, a pretty smart guy, and he said, "Only those who attempt the absurd can achieve the impossible." Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Maria, to all the listeners, and have a great Italian-American day.
So anytime you get low status.